On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday afternoon.
Who told tomorrow? Tuesday's a day.
On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, it is the Ron Van Dam Show. That is an honest, true thing to say. How are you? Good to be with you on this fine Tuesday, March 2nd, 2000, whatever. I don't know what year it is. Pleasure to have you here. You relax. You've done enough already. You've done enough trouble, enough harm. You just lay off of it for a while, okay? And I will take it from here for just a little over half an hour. Then you can go back to screwing things up. I know. Me too. I think this whole thing has affected everybody's memory. Yeah, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer real fast. You ready? Here we go. Real fast, you got to answer. What'd you have for dinner last night? Time's up. You are so... God, what's wrong with you? It's okay. All right. Do you have something plant-based? I don't even know what that means anymore. It's plant-based. I ate something plant-based yesterday. It's based on a plant, based on a short story by Longfellow. It's plant-based. What'd you have yesterday? It's plant-based. I don't know. It's based on a plant. There's this thing called the Beyond Burger. Burger King has something called the Impossible Burger. I think all the burgers are impossible. Possible to keep down. I mean, it's possible to eat one without getting sick an hour later. That's the impossible burger. I don't mind the flame-broiled burgers at Burger King. You know, there's a guy standing in the back with a barbecue pit actually flame-broiling your burgers. You believe that? That's what they want you to believe. I can't go to Burger King because people who really love it walk around wearing these paper crowns on their heads like they're a king. And in the commercials, they used to have adults wearing these paper crowns. And I thought, I can't ever go in there. I can't eat that. Of course, McDonald's was... an embarrassingly stupid-looking clown sitting on a park bench. I couldn't do that either. What? What did they do this for? So the Impossible Burger, the Beyond Burger, they're plant-based. They're based on plants. There's no meat in them. Which is interesting because if there is meat in them, you have to guess which meat it is. Is it a horse? Is it a leopard? What animal is it? Is it a garden variety rat? What is it? A cow? I don't think it's a cow. What is in a regular hamburger at the fast food places? I don't know. The plant-based, what plant is that? A gardenia? No, I don't think so. I don't know what plant that is. Yeah, the plant-based burgers are full of sodium and chemicals. And I mean, loads of sodium, man. And all these different preservatives and chemicals and stuff, those are plant-based. I don't know which is worse. Less fat calories? No. I read the ingredients of the plant-based Impossible Burger Beyond Burger, and they actually have beet juice in it. And I figured, okay, beet juice, I guess beets are healthy. And no, they do it for the color. So when you bite into it, a little bit of red runs out of it like real meat juice, but it's not meat juice, it's beet juice. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Okay. I thought, this is getting really stupid now. Just give me a hamburger and shut up. But Ron, you shouldn't be eating animals. I shouldn't be eating that stuff at all, to be honest with you. Stay away from those places. That's the bottom line. Plant-based. Can't wait for the spring. The flowers start coming up and I can start eating. I don't understand the whole thing. How are you, by the way? I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person whose name is in the title of the program. That helps identify me. I use it for identification. If a cop stops me, you know, and says, you know, you were speeding there, or you didn't stop at that stop sign. Who are you? Can I have your license? I have my license with me. I don't drive with a license, but I am Ron Van Dam of the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh, okay. Whoa, okay. That's enough for me. All right. Anyway, you know, there's three things in this world that should be abolished immediately: poverty, famine, and the Golden Globe Awards. Not even in that order. On Sunday, this past Sunday, remember when that was? What'd you have for dinner Sunday? Quick. You can't remember, can you? Was it plant-based? Sunday was the Golden Globe Awards, whatever. And they performed it virtually, and it was virtually ridiculous. It was horrible. It was just horrible. The Golden Globe Awards are usually horrible. And you say to me, Ron, what are the Golden Globe Awards? What do they represent? Film? Television? What? Yes. The answer is yes. It's the Foreign Press Association. It's people who are with the media who can't speak English. And through the entire, it was hosted by Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, who in their minds are the greatest female comedy team ever devised. I hate to tell them, but no, you're not. You're not that funny at all. It was hokey and horrible. They spent a lot of the time during their monologue at the beginning, and they weren't in the same room. Tina Fey was in New York, and Amy Poehler, or Foal, or whatever her name, she was in Hollywood, Los Angeles, whatever. So nobody was in the same room. I wasn't even in the same room with anybody. It was ridiculous. The celebrities were dressed up in their celebrity stuff, you know, in their greatest gowns and their glitziest tuxedos, but they were sitting on their living room couch. And so everything was virtual. They had a camera in their homes, and they were all dressed up in these million-dollar gowns sitting on their living room couch. And I thought, this is so pathetic. I'm sorry about the pandemic. Not that it's my fault or anything, but I'm sorry about it. But certain things should be canceled, whether there's a pandemic or not. This was the perfect excuse not to have these stupid Golden Globe Awards. You could have said, well, I can't. We can't have people together, so we can't do them. Oh, okay, that's fine. But no, they did them anyway. So during the monologue with the Tina Fey and the Amy Poehler women, they spent a lot of jokes on the fact that the Foreign Press Association, these are the people that choose who are the winners of the stupid thing, that there isn't one black person at all as a member. And they kidded about that. And my immediate reaction was, that's not funny. I don't understand. What? And then a little bit later in the show, some of the members of the Foreign Press Association actually came up on a stage somewhere. I don't know if it was New York or Los Angeles. They had it looking the same. And they actually faced the camera and said, I am Hartla, that's the Flintstein of the Foreign Press Association. This is Margot Allard of Flinton. And we are with the Foreign Press Association. And we admit we have no black people on our board as a member. We're going to take care of that. Thank you, everybody. And then there was applause. It was, well, you're going to take care of that? You know what year this is? It's not 1527. I mean, we're not in the Renaissance. You don't have one black. You don't even have one American on your. It was just awful. It was an awful, awful show. It was tediously horrible. It shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened. It's the same reaction you get when you're driving on the highway and then there's traffic and you notice there's been a horrible accident on the side of the road and there's all these police lights and ambulances, and you say to yourself, this is horrible, this shouldn't have happened, I've got to look away. Only with the Golden Globes, you actually can look away and not watch it. It's an awful, awful thing. I don't admit that I saw any of them. I did watch the beginning because I thought the monologue would be okay. It was absolutely horrible. And I'm admitting to you that I watched the beginning and then a little bit of the awards until I realized I can't do this anymore. I can't listen to these celebrities go on and on and on about whatever they're doing. I don't. Look, let me tell you something. I don't care when a regular person talks to me and goes on and on and on about nothing, like they're important. What makes you think that somebody that I don't even know, who happened to be in a movie that I saw somewhere or not, is talking at me? I don't care. I just don't care. Here's the other thing about the Golden Globes, and now all the award shows, actually. I don't know more than half of the things that they're giving awards to. We've screwed that up. Do you remember when they used to have the Emmy Awards, the TV Awards? All the shows would be on the networks or some independent channels. We all could get them on our antennas or on our basic cable. And we were all familiar with the shows, and it was somewhat intriguing because we were familiar with what they were talking about. Now, I haven't seen more than half these movies. There's been no movie theaters for a year. How am I supposed to have seen these things? Well, Ron, do you have Netflix? You got to pay for that, and you have to see. That's the problem. There was a time you would go to the movies and you would see a movie, and you went to a movie theater and they had movies, and you sat there and you watched a movie. And I was familiar with most of the movies that they had up for awards nominees and television shows. But now I don't know what half these things are because they're scattered all over the place. Well, some are on Hulu, some are on Netflix, some are on Amazon, some are on HBO, some are on Showtime. Hello, I gotta pay for those things. Some are here, some are there, some are over there, some are over here, some are... Unless you're a millionaire, you can't subscribe to all these streaming things all of a sudden. There's got to pay for stream. Not only do I have to pay for my cable, I have to pay for this channel to be streamed. This channel. You want to watch Discovery Plus? I never watched Discovery No Plus. I mean, well, that's $5 a month. For what? For watching shows that I could have seen for free if I was even interested in that channel? Disney Plus. You can see all the Disney stuff. I I don't want to. We can only see it on Disney Plus. Well, why? Why just there? Netflix, Amazon. You gotta have all that. You gotta pay for everything now on top of what you pay for. So as a result, you don't know what they're talking about. Did you ever watch the Tony Awards? I don't know who Tony is. I don't know. I think he's that little kid that went running through the streets of northern Italy and Boston, and it was Spaghetti Day, Prince Spaghetti Day. Was that Tony? It was Anthony, I think. I don't know who this Tony guy is, but there's an award show every year, which also should be stopped, called the Tony Awards for some schmuck named Tony. And it's the best Broadway plays. Unless you live in New York and have a ton of money left over from your $7,000 a month apartment, no one's got any money to go see this stuff. So they have the Tony Awards, and all these Broadway plays are up for getting an award, and you have no idea what they are. There are plays you've never heard of. Nobody's ever seen them. It's actually funny. Remember the play Hamilton? That was up for awards. No one had ever seen it because you couldn't get into the theater. It was playing in one theater in the world. I thought it was about George Hamilton. I thought, well, he was a wonderful actor. They did a play about him. Okay, whatever. No, it's about the Hamilton guy in history. Oh, and they're black rappers? Yes. About Hamilton, the guy in history? Yes. And everybody wants to get in to see it? Yes, you have to see it. No, I don't. You have to, though. It's an incredible show. You have to see it. I don't have to. Can you give me the money to see it? No. Just pay for it yourself. I can't. There's no seats. It's like trying to get a vaccine. Please. I'm not a religious man at all, but I say to you publicly, please, Lord, no more Golden Globe Awards. Can you just have it stop somehow? I thought the pandemic would have done it, but no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't stop it. I don't know. I have no idea. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an excellent guest today. She herself is a celebrity. Her husband is a celebrity. And yet I talk to them. She is a fascinating, fun woman. She's written a few books. She's got a podcast. And she's tremendously opinionated. And I like that about people when I feel like listening to their opinion. When I don't, not so much. I know you feel the same way about me. So our guest is going to join us momentarily. How you doing, by the way? You all right? Are you okay? Yeah, I know. Okay, we'll be right back after these words with our guest.
Looking for someplace new and fun to take the family for breakfast? Then it's time to try Greg's House of Avocado Toast, featuring all your breakfast favorites. White toast, wheat toast, rye toast, yes, even multigrain toast, and more, all topped with creamy avocado. Or mix it up a little with a toasted English muffin topped with avocado. Come in every Thursday for our chef's special creation, sourdough toast with avocado. If it's toast with avocado on top, you'll find it, and nothing else, at Greg's House of Avocado Toast.
Chantal Bison joins us now. She's an author, and gosh, she's been everywhere. She's part of the media. She's a power couple. Well, you're not, you know, with your husband. Her husband is the Murdoch Mysteries. You're probably familiar
yes,
with them.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Well, the book is Raising Your Kids Without Losing Your Cool, and thank you for suggesting that that's a possibility.
Well, it's very tongue-in-cheek, actually. Yes. It's not possible.
It would have to be. Yeah, you know, in the notes here, we mentioned the COVID thing, as it tends to be in every conversation. But this is something that parents are really, really going through, and it's never discussed. And I mean, it's tough enough to do it without restrictions. And here we are in this strange year. And my God, if you get along with your spouse, congratulations. But exactly. You know, but your kids and what's going on? It's awful. So
yeah.
So how do you're a very joyous person. How do you make it through?
Well, I think, you know what, I put a lot of work in and a lot of focus and concentration. You know, I'm naturally pretty upbeat kind of person, but I'm also a realist. So it's hard to balance that, especially in a time like this, right, when you're dealing with a global pandemic and so much is uncertain and so much is new and uncharted territory. Yeah. So I think for me, the way that I managed to, you know, keep my cool is I spent a lot of time focusing on grounding myself because I know that I need to. So I make time for myself in every day in every situation that I can. And then also I've learned as I've gotten older that sometimes I need to walk away from a situation and just, you know, catch my breath and gain a new perspective. And I used to think that walking away in the heat of a moment was not so much admitting defeat, but like, you know, leaving the other person hanging. But what I've learned to do is communicate that, you know what, I can't do this right now. I need to go and compose myself. And I can imagine, you know, a lot of families are feeling the strain of that right now, especially if you have littles at home. I mean, our girls are all, you know, in their 20s and into their 30s now. But, you know, it's difficult when you're parenting any child at any age, right? Because each time of life comes with its own challenges and uncertainties. And then when you're dealing with older kids, you know, you're talking about job loss and, you know, what's this new world going to look like coming out of university? Are there going to be jobs? So, I mean, there's a lot to concern yourself with as a parent, regardless of the age of your child.
Yeah. Not only that, but you recently hit a milestone age, I understand.
Yes,
I'm trying to be so delicate about that.
And okay, I'm well into it now. I'm 52 in June.
well into it. 2 years, big deal.
But I mean, well into it enough to talk about it.
Oh, okay. because that's also a turning point, and you have children. They're off on their own because usually if you start the family in your 20s, you know, when you're 50, you know, you got your new life in front of you, and it's like it's a strange freedom because I don't have to put up with the crap anymore. Now I can do my thing. And then you stand there and you go like, what is my thing and can I do it? It can be very daunting.
These shifts in life are usually most difficult on a woman, right? Because oftentimes the woman runs the house and she's responsible for the scheduling of kids and their activities and, you know, does the lion's share of work with regards to structure in raising a household. But what I've come to learn after writing my book, Raising Your Kids Without Losing Your Cool, is I've got a lot of feedback from dads who say that, you know, that empty nest was difficult on them too. So I found that fascinating because, you know, I'm only ever looking at it from the female point of view and from the mother's point of view, but it's a huge transition for a couple. And, you know, I talk about it a lot in my book. I put a lot of stress on the point that when you have children, yes, you're creating a family, but the children should not become the primary relationship of your life. Right. Because eventually, if you do your job correctly, like you said, they're going to go on. Right. They're going to move out and they're going to live their own lives. And you're going to be left with a partner that you haven't invested any time into, that you haven't nurtured that part of your life and your household. So I really, really hammer that a lot in my book, that, you know, take care of your primary relationship, take care of your partnership with your co-parent, because if you do your job right, they are going to leave and you're going to be just the two of you staring at each other. You got to make sure you have things in common. You've got to make sure that you know, that you're still close, that you're still connected, that you're still committed to one another. So I think that, it can be a very freeing, liberating time, but it's also quite lonely for a lot of people. And I think that both those sides of that coin are you know, to be acknowledged and to be honored and to be able to sit in it a little bit. You know, so often mm-hmm. as human beings, we're becoming more and more conditioned to like, everything's okay. You know, there's the new phrase going around right now is toxic positivity, mm-hmm. right? Where it's just like making the best of every situation. Sometimes right. you don't want to. And I think that, you know, and I talk about this a lot in my book too, it's okay to be not okay. And the more that you embrace that you're not okay, that you're maybe not having fun raising your family, maybe, you know, having kids wasn't mm-hmm. all that you thought it was going to be. Like, it's all about being honest with yourself and being okay with right. whatever comes up when you're in that moment of honesty.
That is a very honest thing to say. I don't know of any relationship or have heard of any relationship that's been perfect from beginning to end with no problems whatsoever to the point where one said, I've had it, I'm out of here. That's the way it is, but that's not the way it's expressed to us publicly, yeah. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's okay is a great phrase because it is okay. You're not the only one. I wanted to,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I want to bring up hardships because, when you're over 50 and the kids have left, you get into a phase of life where the hardships, seem to be coming a little bit faster than they did before.
100%.
Yeah. And that's also difficult to take. And if you feel all this psychological freedom and you realize, yeah, it's not really that free. I still got things I have to deal with.
Yeah. Well, 100%. Well, and you know, and that's the other fascinating part of it, right? Because we're conditioned either socially or through our own relationships with uh-huh. our parents or, you know, grandparents, just like our community, right? Mm-hmm. Like our little village, we get conditioned to this belief and this notion that when you hit this certain age, uh-huh. that's when the freedom comes.
That's when
my life can really begin. And that's when I'm going to be able to do all those things I've always wanted to do. I call that procrastination of living your actual life. And I don't recommend that for anybody. I'm a big believer that live your day fully every day. And I live that way and I feel that way because the reality is putting life off until those moments of freedom 55 or when I retire at mm-hmm. 65. The reality is that the one thing we're not guaranteed, none of us, is tomorrow.
Correct.
So you know, some people are like, that's such a negative way to live. And I'm like, well, no, because then I don't procrastinate doing things that interest me, or I don't procrastinate, sure. you know, being the way that I want to be today, because if it were my last day, I'd be glad that I ate that lobster bisque pasta.
Well, okay.
I usually refrain about those foods, but no, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's very, very real. I think that so often we put off the expectation yeah. of then I'll be happy when this happens,
yes.
then I'm going to do yes. the thing. And what we find is once we've done that, and once we get to that point, you end up realizing that, oh, that wasn't the thing either. So the reality is that we need to live every day looking for the things that make our life more joyful, that make our lives more fulfilling, that make it feel yeah. more whole. And we have since you know, my husband plays Murdoch on Murdoch Mysteries, right. many, many years ago, almost 30 years ago, he was in a TV show called High Tide with the rock star Rick Springfield. Mm-hmm. They played brothers.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, we're still really, really close with Rick and his wife, Barbara. Mm-hmm. And one thing Rick taught us, and we were in our early 20s, because he'd already been through it by that point. He'd already had Jesse's Girl. He'd mm-hmm. already had the Grammys. He's like, that's not the thing either. You know what I mean? So it's not about waiting for those pinnacle moments to find your joy. It's about creating them as you're going along. And I think that this is a very real situation that people find themselves in their 50s when the kids mm-hmm. are gone. You know, some people do find that and they are able to embrace that freedom and find it and go forward and be like, yeah, this is the life I've always wanted. Mm-hmm. And then other people get there and they're like, shoot, wow, I kind of did it wrong. Because yeah, like you said earlier, it's like everything kind of starts to hit the fan at once, like
mm-hmm.
your health starts to ail, your kids maybe couldn't get a job, so all they may be out of the house, but you're mm-hmm. still financially supporting them in some ways, or you know, you have a child who tries for a first baby, has miscarriages, like
right.
adult children come with their own sets of mm-hmm. Parental challenges and life challenges and life struggles, right? So the notion that you're gonna arrive and everything is gonna like just be smooth sailing, to your point, I don't think that that necessarily happens because, like you said, other stuff starts to come into play. Yeah. You start to lose friends, illness, you know, all those things.
Exactly. You would have to just shut yourself off completely emotionally in order not to be concerned about anything or become an alcoholic.
Those are your two options. That's neither are good.
That's about it.
Neither
that's about it.
And COVID has combined those two together.
That's right. Thank you, COVID, for doing that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Interesting stuff. Now, how can people follow what you're doing and stay in touch? And, well, certainly the book's available, Raising Your Kids Without Losing Your Cool.
Yes, it's available everywhere on all the Amazon sites. I believe it's on Walmart.com. Also, if you like the sounds of me, you can get an audio. I actually narrate it myself, so you can do that as well. You can follow me on my website, ChantalBisson.com. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm mostly active on Instagram, but I do have a Facebook and Twitter account as well, same name. Wonderful. And I'm excited to say that the Parenting Your Teen Without Losing Your Cool book will be hitting the shelves May 26th of 2021. So there's a follow-up. I broke the book into two parts essentially because, you know, you don't want to talk to parents about where should babies sleep while simultaneously talking to them about drugs and alcohol and underage sex. So I thought, I don't want to blow their minds. Let's break this book into two parts. Let's let them enjoy, you know, from birth to 10 when they're still snuggly and let you dress them.
I know. It's a different kind of problem.
100%. It's a different kind of emotional exhaustion.
It's fun. I mean, it's what we do on this show. We have fun with life. We just, we look at everything and we turn it around and we chuckle about it. And that's you know, you got to have that kind of attitude.
Well, if you can't laugh at life, you're living it wrong.
That's true. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And I hope people do check in with you every once in a while and pick up the book and enjoy.
Well, thank you. It's certainly been fun chatting with you, and I appreciate you having me on and taking the time.
Well, there you go, Chantel. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I thank you for joining me today. You have been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that occurs, well, I wish you peace.